If Donald Trump paid no federal income taxes for 18 years, how does any of that work? From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump may have paid no federal income taxes for almost two decades. That's according to reporting and tax analysis from the New York Times. The paper got a hold of part of Mr. Trump's 1995 tax filings. The documents show that he recorded a loss of almost $916 million that year, enough of a loss that it could offset taxable income for 18 years. To explain how this works, I've got David K. Johnston on the line, an investigative journalist who focuses on tax issues and author of the book, The Making of Trump. Good morning.
Good morning.
Can you explain how someone could carry a loss forward, this sort of idea of net operating loss against potential future income?
Congress has a provision that allows you, if you have mismanaged your business or had misfortune, to take those losses and spread them over the business over a number of years. You can go back 2 years and forward for 15, but this is not for capital investment. This is for the business having an operating loss. Now, if you own real estate and you mismanage it, that's one of the ways that you can drive down its value.
You wrote a book about Donald Trump. What does this part of this 95 filing tell us about sort of Donald Trump, the businessman?
Through smart use of the tax code, Trump was able to spend years not paying taxes. In fact, the last year we know he actually paid income taxes was 1977, and there's every reason to think he has not paid any income taxes since then. And this has to do with rules that most people don't qualify for. But if you are in various positions that Congress favors, if you're a private equity manager, if you're a professional athlete or a movie star, there are special rules that will allow you to enjoy an enormous income and pay little or no tax.
Can you do this if you're a business person, say, you know, you work in real estate, but you're not wealthy, or is this a provision that tends to favor the rich?
Oh, most of the provisions that allow you to defer and delay taxes require you to be wealthy first. America really has two income tax systems, separate and unequal. One is for workers and pensioners whose taxes are withheld from their pay before they get it. The other system is for people who control businesses of various kinds, but especially ones Congress favors, real estate, hedge funds, private equity funds, movie making. And people in those businesses are allowed to pay their taxes by and by in the future.
David K. Johnston, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
The Trump campaign neither confirmed nor denied the Times report, but added that Mr. Trump has paid plenty of other taxes. When you look at student debt around the country, the good news is that defaults are falling as the economy improves. But students who went to for-profit colleges account for 35% of defaults in the last 3 years. So why is this happening? As part of our partnership with Frontline and the PBS NewsHour called How the Deck is Stacked, I went to talk to some borrowers to find out. I met up with Stephen Trimble at a juice bar in downtown Philadelphia with kind of amusingly named drinks.
Get a key lime pie, and I will have a spa treatment.
I was there to talk to him about the $30,000 in loans he took out to go to the University of Phoenix back in 2000 when he was 27.
You know, the University of Phoenix at that time was kind of a new phenomenon, and I'd seen, you know, television commercials and heard radio commercials, and I thought, hey, the format sounded amazing.
He went to study business management, but after 3 years, felt he wasn't really learning anything and dropped out.
When I did think about it, I felt a little bit ashamed for quitting and not seeing it through. But then I thought about the school itself and what that degree was probably going to be worth, which is bupkis, in my opinion.
Trimble has a good job as a corporate writer now and has made a pretty decent dent in his debt. getting the balance down to $17,000.
It feels like an anchor. It feels like a cloud.
At one point, his wages were garnished. His credit is pretty much destroyed.
My father helped me buy a car 3 years ago. In fact, he bought the car, and I'd make the payments at a 6.9% interest rate. If I had bought the car, it would be an 18.9% interest rate. I can't get a credit card without more than like a $500 limit on my own. I couldn't get a mortgage. My house is in my wife's name.
Borrowers at for-profits not only default more frequently, but they're also often from lower-income families who can't help out, or might be a little older, like Stephen, or have kids, or have a lot of other things on their plates.
The problem is that we have too many people borrowing to go to institutions and programs that we know in advance are not going to serve them well. That's a crisis.
That's Sandy Baum, who studies debt at the Urban Institute, and says a lot of these schools used aggressive marketing to draw students in.
Some of these big publicly held companies, they grew dramatically, and they signed up all kinds of people who had no idea what they were getting into.
That's now made worse because schools like ITT Tech and Corinthian have since collapsed, leaving thousands of students with ruined credit and potentially piles of debt. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.